You're listening to the StogTex podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the StogTex podcast. You're back again with Nessa. And today's episode is a very special one because it's in partnership with ATU. And today I'm very lucky to be joined by Fiona Kelly, who is the Marketing Engagement Manager at ATU, but she's also an expert on the CAO. So she's going to answer some of the most important questions around, you know, filling out that all important application form. So Fiona, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Nessa, thanks so much for having me.
I love talking to an expert. I love talking to someone who really knows what they're doing. And this time of year that we're recording and the start of November is a very busy time of year for you because it's when the CAO online application facility opens. So I suppose to start us off, can you tell us like the most kind of the key dates around the CAO and like what people need to know?
So in terms of the CAO opens on the 5th of November at 12 p.m. So from this period and point forward, anybody coming to university in September 2026 or planning to can make an application to the Central Applications Office via www.cao.ie. The cheapest time is to apply then between the 5th of November until the 20th of January, and it costs you €35 to do so. And I suppose for those people who maybe really know what they want to do, that would be the window to make that application. So from the 5th of November to the 20th of January. Then maybe you're somebody who's a little bit like unsure, you then get a window between the 20th of January until the 1st of February, and it costs €50 up until that point, until the 1st of February, to make an application. The CAO is really flexible though. So say you missed it up to the 1st of February, the application window, they do give you another shot then called a late application window. And that opens on the 5th of March until the beginning of May. So you can make a late application. And often what we find in that window at universities is it's maybe somebody who thought, right, well, I'm just maybe going to go down the PLC or further education route, or maybe I'm thinking about an apprenticeship. And then they decide, oh no, I want to make a late application. And they decide, oh, I'm going to make an application. Or somebody from maybe Northern Ireland who was UCAS focused, missed the window CAO, they will come in the late application window. But again, then once you're in the system, the CAO is quite good to you again, because then on the 5th of May until the 1st of July, you get a chance to change your mind. And this allows you to move your options around free of charge, only though on those courses that aren't restricted, because some courses are restricted where you have to apply by the 1st of February.
Yeah, so that's, I think that's a question people had before, like, why does it keep opening and closing? But I suppose it's because of those courses are restricted, and also like the universities kind of get an idea as well of how many people are applying for the courses.
Exactly. The majority of students actually will be in the system by the 1st of February. You know, the broad back of people will be in the system by that stage. But thereafter, there is this constant window, and that's what's really good about the CAO. There is that flexibility where you have really right up until the beginning of May to get in the system. But even at that, there is still a window at the very end of August when the Leaving Cert results come out called Available Places, where all the unis that maybe don't have fully subscribed programs, that maybe all the places haven't been filled, will put up a number of programs at the university on Available Places. So even then, right up to Leaving Cert results time, the CAO is giving you a chance to secure a university place. So quite flexible, quite, you know, student friendly, and quite user friendly as well in terms of those dates and deadlines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say, I really love the change of mind facility as well, being open until the 1st of July, because you can do the whole Leaving Cert and have like different thoughts about, oh, I did better than I thought I was going to do. I'm going to maybe, you know, put this course down or something like that. So yeah, like you said, it's definitely always keep the CAO kind of top of mind, and you have the opportunity to change it. Yeah, absolutely. I've heard you talk before a bit about like how great a website you think the CAO website is, and how like there's lots of great resources on it.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit like how would you recommend that students get the most out of that website?
Yeah, well, mostly like in guidance counselor classes at this point in time, the guidance counselors will be going through the process with students. But say, for instance, you're a student maybe who doesn't have access to a guidance counselor, or maybe you're a parent that's keen to know more or see more in relation to the CEO, they have these how to apply videos, these tutorials, and they're amazing resources because it shows you in short videos how to make an application. And it is so straightforward. Now, one thing I will say to students when they're making their application, do not use your school email address. Use an email address that belongs to you, because remember, you're not planning to live in that school forever. You know, you're going to leave that school after the Leaving Cert next June. So when the CAO was contacting you, you want them to contact you off an email address or contact you directly on an email address that you have automatic access to and constant access to. So for instance, if you were using then available places in late August, you know, that email address may not be available to you. So be really, really smart when you're making your application about what email address you use. So again, their website, their resources, their how to applies are so helpful and so user friendly.
That's brilliant. And I think I remember when I was we were talking before about like the difference, the number one tips that we give to students who are filling out the CAO form. And that was one of the top three for you, was to not miss any email from the CAO. A mistake, or a common mistake that people could make, is looking at those emails and ignoring them.
Yeah, because it's the only way that the CAO has to contact you. So say, for instance, a really common mistake is students forget to put their Leaving Cert number into their CAO application. And then they contact the universities and say, I didn't get an offer and I definitely had the points, or I definitely met the entry requirements and the points and I didn't get my offer. Why not? And sometimes it could be something as simple as the fact that they didn't put their Leaving Cert number in. But the CAO will be contacting you to say to you, we're missing that information. So, you know, it's making sure you're fully tuned in and you use from day one an email address that is a contactable email address. So, and my big advice would be, don't use that school email address because you're going to be leaving the school. And that would be really, really important, to use an email address that you have access to and that you regularly check, because it's the way that they communicate with you.
Yeah, so important. You're right. It would be such like a frustrating point to like miss out on it because over something so simple.
Yeah.
And the other piece of, or I remember another big tip that you gave, and I think it wasn't something that I was too aware of myself when I was filling out the CAO form all those years ago, was the importance of filling out all of the courses on the level 8 and the level 6-7 list. Can you talk about why that's so important?
Yeah, so your technological universities, and there are 5 in total in the Republic of Ireland. So Atlantic Technological University is one of 5 technological universities in the Republic. But what's really important to note is that you have a level 8 list and you have a level 6-7 list. And why it's really, really important to consider both lists is you have backup plans. So more often than not, the technological universities will have the program that you're interested in as a level 8 option, and it'll have a level 6-7 option. But what's great about this is that most of the degree programs, the same first year anyway, generally speaking, whether it's the 6-7 or the 8, because, you know, we're preparing you to move on to second, third, and then that subsequent, possibly fourth year as well. But it gives you a backup plan, because the entry requirements tend to be lower for the 6-7 program versus the level 8. And so many students are like, no, I'm just going to apply for a level 8 honours degree. I'm going to be fine. And then what happens if the points jump up? You've no backup plan. So it's really, really important to look at the level 6-7 list and the level 8 list when you're making your application. Do they have the business degree that I'm interested in as a level 7 option and as a level 8? And put it in. And remember, genuine order of preference. The number of students that contact universities to say, oh, I wish I had a bit. This particular program is number 1. I had it further down the list and I didn't get the offer for it. You can't move things around. So you've got to go, dream course is your number 1 course. And then number 2 is your second dream course. The third is the third. And thereafter, exactly the same. And remember, you get to make 10 choices at level 8 and 10 choices at level 6-7. So it's making sure you make the system work for you. And sometimes the system also can work for you in 2 ways. You might be a student that's saying, right, well, I'm interested in law, but I'm also interested in marketing. So if you have a level 7 option, say in marketing, and you have a law option at level 8, then you can put both of those programs as a number 1. And that's given you 2 opportunities to get the program you're interested in and then make a decision, because you can only accept ultimately 1 of the offers that you get. But then you get a chance to look at your options again. So say if you're looking at a couple of different discipline areas, that's why your 6-7s and your level 8s are really, really good also to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no going wrong with having plenty of backup options.
Totally.
You spoke there about like the advantages of a technological university and being able to progress from a level 6-7 to a level 8 course. And you working at ATU yourself, are there any things that you, or like, are there any like common misconceptions about technological universities or like things that you would love people to know about technological universities?
Yeah, I think misconceptions maybe not so much, but I think things we do well and that we stand out for technological universities kind of speak for themselves. So we offer practical programs. We offer placements across all our programs. We offer project-based assessment and we offer people. So what I would say there in terms of kind of like four P elements, really, that community piece where you have lecturers who are in industry coming into your lecturing environment. And look, I see this firsthand every day at Atlantic Technological University, these amazing people that are at the front of your classroom who you have full access to. So the piece around practicals, so you're very likely going to have a minimum 6 weeks, right the way up to one full academic year at a technological university in a degree program. That is standout because what that does is it gives you a chance to secure a job opportunity. So many of our students use that as a pathway. So I'll give an example. For instance, students that are doing our architecture program have placement opportunities. Students doing dental nursing have placement opportunities. Out of 20 graduates, for example, in our dental nursing program, all 20 got offered a permanent job offer from leaving, from having done a placement with that provider and then leaving the program. So see the piece around security and employment, because of those placements, then that opportunity comes your way. And as a graduate leaving, you've got something that you can talk about, something that makes you distinct. The other piece around the project-based assessment, if you're someone who likes continuous assessment and getting the projects done and not a heavy focus on exams at one point in time, then you'll love the technological universities. We're constantly assessing you at various periods across the year. So it's not just all on a May set exams, a December set of exams, it's around projects as well. So the placements, the practical element, the projects and the people you meet at technological universities are the key things that stand out.
Amazing. Yeah, I really did like love my course, but I think when I was looking back on it, I did a kind of a computer science degree and I think it really was lacking that practical element to it. It was very, very exam heavy and there were certain things coming out of it that I was like, it would have been great to have more of that hands-on experience. So yeah, I felt like me personally, I might have overlooked the technological universities when I was in doing the CAO. So I just recommend to anyone listening to this, like if you are considering a course like that where you would really gain a lot from hands-on practical experience, that is it's not to be underestimated at all.
That's a really great point you make about, I suppose, the opportunity for placement. For example, we have a student here at ATU, she now graduated there last week at our graduation ceremonies, called Ellen Woodward, and she started computing at ATU. She did a four-month placement as a software engineer intern, and then in Sligo, actually, with a company based in the region. And then she went to Barcelona on placement as well as part of her program.
Wow.
And she was actually from the region, achieved over 600 points in her leaving cert. You know, she's a significantly exceptional student, but the placements and the stepping stone with the placements, and then she did Erasmus Plus. And important to flag that Erasmus forms a strong element of what we do here. So the placements don't just have to be in Ireland, they can be done abroad. So some really cool opportunities across the 218 CAO programs that we have here. So like if you see a work placement, you very likely could do that abroad too. So following in the likes of Ellen's footsteps, and she had secured employment as she was graduating as well. And all of those opportunities mattered.
That's amazing. I feel like she really got the full experience, like to be able to get all the hands-on experience and then get the placement abroad. I would say that to anyone listening. I know there's some people who are more adventurous than others, but if you can do placement abroad, it is such an amazing experience.
It is an awesome experience, and so many opportunities exist now in that space, and there's Erasmus funding. All of the universities offer opportunities like that. And look, I see this as a marketing manager for the university, but I say it as a parent of someone who's done a placement, who was in Washington, D.C. with a construction company, connected to ATU this year who went out, who had that kind of study local but went abroad. I've seen it firsthand as a mum as well. So
wow.
I wear two hats when I'm here. So placements abroad, the most awesome experience, and particularly if you're staying in your region, which a lot of students are doing now as well, Nessa. So important to flag that too. A lot more students have the opportunity they want on their doorstep and they're saying, right, what other experiences can I get? But again, that's where your open days, the connections with the university that you go to explore your choices. It's really important to ask those questions too when you're in.
That's brilliant, because actually that was going to be another one of my questions for you is, like, there's open days happening across the country, there's ATU open days coming up.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to students to make the most of their open days?
Yeah, so I think maximizing your time at an open day is really, really important. So best advice is, yes, friends are super important on an open day experience, but following them maybe isn't the best bit of advice, because if your friend is interested in medical science, whereas you're interested in engineering, you shouldn't be following them down the medical science journey. You should be heading off to the engineering faculty and finding out more about that particular program or area of interest that you're interested in. So follow your own plan. Make a plan. So a lot of the websites are amazing for that. So including atu.ie/open days, you can go on, have a look, register and get the schedule in advance and pre-plan the day. So plan. That would be really, really important. When you arrive at the open day, speak to the students on the program. So what we did this year, for example, we did a first year survey of the first years that has started with us in September. And the majority of students really, like, that's the most important element for them, is actually speaking to peers and, like, not necessarily speaking to the academics in the program, speaking to the student on the program that they're interested in. So pre-plan, speak to the student ambassadors, those who are on the programs, and find out what it's really like. Like, you'll be able to find out about timetables. You'll be able to find out about modules on that program. And if you speak to a student on that program, they'll be able to tell you the best bits. And you're speaking to someone who looks like you, is a year or two ahead of you. And they're really important things to do when planning for an open day. And whether that's ATU or you're thinking about DCU, it's really important that you pre-plan and then you use the opportunity of engaging with those who are at the stands doing the workshops and who are helping you when you're visiting the various facilities on the day. So that would be really, really important to flag. If you're attending, for instance, then maybe not with your school and maybe you have a parent's advice or support, you know, encourage the parent or the guardian or the family member to also, you know, ask questions. So it could be about accommodation, it could be about student life, it could be about clubs and societies. You know, everybody should be part of this journey because it's one of the biggest decisions you're ever going to make. And that piece around whether to study at home or to go away is something that also maybe a parent, a guardian, a sibling, an aunt or an uncle may be able to help you with as well. So maybe bring somebody along as a support if you're not coming with a friend at a school. But prioritize you. That's the key thing when you're visiting an open day. And, you know, don't follow. Be you. Remember, in a year's time, you're going to be on this journey. And it's so individual that you really need to find that right path for you.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to say, is that, like, it's so tempting to stay with your friends now because, like, you're in school together every day. But, like, you need to, it's a good way of kind of taking a dose of that independence that you are going to be experiencing next year. So yeah just go for it. Go out
Absolutely.
By yourself.
You can meet your friends for a mocha or a burrito. But then, you know, follow your journey when it comes to the faculty engagement, the department engagement, you know, and the ambassador engagement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know ATU has a number of different campuses around Donegal and Galway and Sligo, but you're based in Donegal, am I right in saying that?
Well, I have 9 campus responsibility in my job. So I would be going between Galway City, Dublin Road campus, right the way to Letterkenny. So we have 9 campuses in total. So in total, we would have 22 open days across the academic year. So there's so many times where you can have a touch point at an open day with us. November's pretty hectic when it comes to open days. So it is, but they provide the student, prospective students, with the best opportunity to find out the answers to those really pressing questions that you might have that maybe a guidance counsellor can't give you, the website can't give you. And that's the same in all of the universities in Ireland. We have these significant days and they're there for you, the prospective student, to figure out what's best for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the advice on that we've spoken about is relevant to like the open days. And I say a lot of it would be helpful for people who might have an inkling of what they want to do. But do you have any tips for people who at this stage, they're in sixth year and some of their friends are like, oh, I want to do engineering, or other friends want to do this, but they actually really don't know. Like, what are your tips for students in that position?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And we meet so many students like that. And, you know, what I would say is go back to the fundamentals of who you are. Think about you during maybe TY, and think about you when you were making your subject choices between TY and senior cycle. You have areas of interest. You have identified program areas that are already either your strengths or the subjects that you're really, really good at. Yeah. They're already automatically areas of interest. Explore them further. What disciplines are related to those subjects? Could you be interested in physiotherapy and occupational therapy because you chose biology as a lead insert subject? You know, maybe you're more towards the health sciences. Maybe though you chose business because it's so easy for you. You find it really not a difficult subject at lead insert. And maybe that is the area you should be exploring then to progress further into. Maybe you enjoy the teacher at the top of the classroom. Maybe you're really inspired by them. Maybe they've given you a lot of support over the year. You're thinking, I could actually do what they're doing. So should I explore education courses? Should I be a teacher? You know, these are the things you should be reflecting on for those students who really are a little bit adrift at this time, because, you know, time is pressing in terms of what decisions to make. What I would also say to students is that speak with people around you. You know, people around you know you as well, and people will want the best for you. So your guidance counselor, for example, if you haven't met them on a one-to-one yet, arrange that. You know, speak with family members also, and look at things that you've really got a really, really positive vibe from and a positive outcome from as well. There are backup plans as well. Like, you don't have to jump straight into uni either next September. Have you thought about a PLC or a further education course? Have you thought about a tertiary degree? You know, have you thought about maybe starting on a program that's a pre-entry program as opposed to coming straight to us? And what I would advise students to do in that instance is to look at the ETB websites and to really engage and see, right, well, I'm totally unsure. What do I do now? And then the final bit of advice I would give for somebody in this instance is that if you know it's broadly design, maybe the arts or it's engineering or it's science or it's business, or you're thinking to yourself that I know I've a flair for that, but I'm not quite sure, then look at a common entry degree. So what common entry degrees do is they provide you with a shot to dip your toe in that area and maybe explore between 4 to 7 disciplines in year one and then specialize in year two. So similar to what the arts degrees would have been many, many moons ago when they existed, those common entry degrees are great now because we know that you might broadly like business, but we know that also you might not know if that's accountancy, marketing, management, entrepreneurship, but we let you try it in year one and then you specialize in year two. So what I would say to students is explore common entry as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant advice. I'd say it's so easy for students to panic, and it's good to remind them, like, you have time. Like, it is still very early days, and you don't go into a certain area and then you have to do that for the rest of your life. Like, you like explore your options now. It's a really exciting time. So yeah, that's absolutely brilliant advice. I've run through all my questions for you, Fiona, but do you have any other kind of last bit of advice that you would love 6 years or anyone applying for the CAO to hear?
Yeah, I think the key thing is take a beat, explore your options, make sure you fill out the list to suit you, because remember, again, if you have multiple areas of interest, remember to fill out the 6, 7s and the level 8 options to suit you, to give yourself as many chances and choices. Engage with your top 3 universities. Go to their open days. Pick your top 3 places. Like, where could you see yourself being? And look at your regional providers as well within that context, you know. So if you're based in Galway, look at your Galway unis and then maybe pick your other 2. If you're based in Dublin, look at your Dublin universities and then maybe pick your other top 2. That's the key thing for me to advise. So if you're based in Donegal, look at your local university and then look at your others. And what I would say to you then is explore the open days, pre-plan, bring a friend, bring people that you trust, and really ask those important questions, because you have a shot to ask everything you need to know when they're in front of you. And that gives you a really honest and authentic experience then for you to reflect on when you're making those choices.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. We'll leave it there for today. So thank you so much, Fiona, for joining me and for, you know, sharing all of your wonderful advice. You're preparing for the ATU Open Days at the moment. Do you want to just flag those and what dates are coming up? So if anyone wants to hear about them, what they need to know.
Of course. So our Donegal Letterkenny Campus Open Days are taking place on the 6th and the 8th of November. Our Sligo and St Angelo's Campus Open Days are taking place on the 13th and 15th of November. Our ATU Connemara Campus, our Letterfrack Campus Open Days, happening on Friday the 21st of November. And our Galway City Dublin Road Campus, which will give you exposure to five of our Galway campuses, including our Well Park Road, our Arts and Design Campus, is taking place on Friday the 28th. 8th of November. So I'd advise students go to hu.ie/open days to find out more.
Perfect. And I'll leave the links for those in the notes for this episode, so you can just click on them really easily. Fiona, thank you so much for joining
me
again. You've been a brilliant guest, and thank you so much for listening. Please follow StyleClix wherever you're listening and give us a rate or review or share this with a friend who you think would really benefit from the knowledge that was shared on the podcast today. Tune in for next time. Bye.